You are now tuned in to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and I am joined by everybody's favorite Cave of Solitude co-host, founder of the show, insane mercenary of the show. Stand and state your name as the crowd gives you a round of applause.
Oh my God, it's Lady J.
Lady J in the house, as she likes to say, back in the saddle. We're going to buckle down. And this week we have a very fun episode. I'm looking forward to it. Daff J has been planning and plotting for this episode. And I look...
Prepping
is the word she's going with. So this episode is special because, as we said on the Lego Batman episode, we had a couple of listener requests recently sent to us via email.
And we got one from, dare I say, one of our main supporters.
Our OG listener?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got an email from him. We got an email from Cousin Adam. Cousin Adam. That's going to be his code name for the show. I couldn't think of another one, but it works. And Martin Slam Duncan. And we're gonna get both of those episodes. We're going to lay them down, discuss them in detail. But first, we're going to go with Martin Slam Duncan's request episode. He sent us an email, and we will read it to you what it is.
So how did you select this episode in comparison to, like, all the other... Did you pull a name out of a hat? Like, how did you... How did we decide to do this one first?
I think this one was a little bit... I think... I don't want to spoil what the other request is, but the other request is a little bit more centered on one of our tastes, as opposed to this one is a little bit more of a tag team...
Back and forth,
top 10 type of episode.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to kind of go with this one first, because I thought it would get you in the zone, prepped to do it.
May I do the honors?
You want to read the email?
From the Martin Slam Duncan?
You could be our email reader.
I like him. Hey there, Martin. Shout out to the Duncan. Thanks for writing in, by the way. So, this is the email that we got. Hey, Eric and Daff. Great to have you guys back chatting away through my car speakers as I drive to work. I'm just catching up on my podcasts, and I'm a few behind, but I should get through them in the next week or so. Thanks for the shout-out during the Rogue One episode. Special thanks to Daff. See, this is why I'm a fan.
I'm a fan
of this guy here. Special thanks to Daff for getting my name. Oh, for getting my name.
Yeah, I'm such a fan.
Anyway, I have a request topic for you guys. What are your top 10 villains from any media, and why? Show some love for the bad guys, in brackets or girls. Cheers, Martin Slam Duncan. Oh yeah. That's amazing.
There you go. He's OG COS listener. Self-proclaimed, and I would happen to agree. So, before we get started and count down our 10, top 10, doesn't have to be in any particular order, I want to start it off by giving a disclaimer to the listeners. I personally, and I can't speak for Daff J, but you think of top 10 villains, automatically, who's number one?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's number one.
Like, duh.
Yeah, you got Darth Vader, you got the Joker, you got, you know, all the ones that come to your mind automatically. I didn't necessarily go that route. And that's not to say that I don't consider them, or I don't know if you picked them, but if you didn't, that's not because we were like, they're not good enough.
You know what? This is a bit of a weight off my shoulders, because I kind of approached it that way too. I mean, because just in that genre, there's so many.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah. For you to leave them out, it would be very hard. So I kind of went in the other direction.
I wanted to go in a way that wasn't quite as obvious. I mean, there's going to be some that are obvious, but I didn't want to pick the ones that are the shoo-ins, that are going to be on everybody's list, because they have to be. And the other thing I didn't do, except in one scenario, I didn't do comic book villains.
Oh.
I think, as a branch off of this episode, and I don't know if Martin Slam Dunker would appreciate it, but I want to do a top 10 comic book villain episode. Because there's so many good ones that you can really delve into, and you can pick a couple, I could pick a couple, and just get into those characters and why they're great. And they have such... Sometimes in movies or television, you got a limited exposure to what that villain was. Maybe it's just one movie. Or maybe they're on a television show for a limited amount of time. Whereas a comic book villain, you sometimes got like 70 years worth of stories that affect that character. So I want to do that.
Right. Okay.
So in this one, I picked a comic book character, but not in the way that it's from, it's the version from the comic book, if that makes sense. But I don't want to spoil it any more than that. So, Daff J, who should go first? Ladies first. Let's do ladies first. Why are we even discussing it? Yeah, ladies first.
Okay, well,
I love these episodes because you come up with like those things that I didn't think of, like top five movies that shouldn't be remade, like Bodyguard. I can't wait to see what villains you put in this. Go for it. Daff J.
I gotta just say, right off the hop, I think this was one of the most intimidating episodes that I've had to prepare or think about. As fun as it was, and thank you for writing in and having this request, it was one of the scariest things I've ever had to get back into. Because, like, thinking back to my childhood and certain characters.
Digging deep.
Yeah. And
stuff you'd rather forget. Right?
Yeah.
You had an idea once. Sorry to cut you off, but this topic reminded me of an idea you had once of top five actors who play villains.
I did not? What? Me?
Yeah, you came up with who are the best actors who've played or who are known for playing villains. I have it written in my notes somewhere of ideas you've come up with, and I was starting to look that up myself, so it's kind of cool that we get a chance to go through a list of villains of any sort. But go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, and these are they're not in order.
That's fine. Mine aren't in order either.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. No. We're not doing like, and then my top one, crazy, scariest, no.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Can you tell I'm...
you're like... Okay. It's like you did something wrong in this list.
Okay, so... Okay, so... And it was hard to just find 10, because there's so many.
That's the fun part, right?
So I feel like I'm going to mention who I mention, but there's a group of them.
Okay.
Okay? So... Scar... from The Lion King. He's terrible.
That was on my list.
Was it?
Yeah, I scratched one of mine out and I felt like, okay, this one's good, but this, like, Scar is just so evil incarnate. Like, as a Disney movie villain, like, all of his motivations, like, there isn't, you know how sometimes there's villains who... they're bad guys, but they don't think they're doing anything wrong. Scar didn't give a... like, he didn't care. Yeah, yeah. He knew, I'm going to murder. I'm going to take what's not my... like...
yeah.
Everything about him, he just... yeah, go ahead. It's your pick.
Yeah, no, it was my favorite movie growing up.
Yeah.
I really, really liked Aladdin. But I really, really liked The Lion King. I had the bed sheets. I had the figurine. I had the soundtrack. Like, I was that kid.
I know a lot of kids loved Lion King. We were the same generation. But what was it about Lion King that made it the one for you above Aladdin, above Beauty and the Beast, and like of that era of Disney movies?
I don't know. I felt like there was something regal about the safari life, like the animals and how real or how invested Disney got into it. Because I remember back way when they didn't have like that one special feature disc that showed you everything that they did.
Right.
But there was a snippet where I heard the the voiceover guy saying the writers and the animators, and they all went to the safari, they went to the jungles of whatever, and they studied the real thing, and you saw, like, I actually saw baby cubs, I saw hyenas, like, I actually saw these so animals.
So there's, like, an authenticity to what they did. Yeah. That's how they actually
It wasn't act. That they just put together these animals and then just made them speak, but they studied their movements and their characteristics, and there was something, like, really real about it, as much as it was just a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
It was...
The music, too, in it, like, with everything that... The way the music played, with the animation
and the voices. And the loved the voices in this movie. Like, obviously, Darth Vader was Mufasa.
So that Earl Jones.
And then Jeremy Irons was Scar.
Alfred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yes, casting. That's right. Yeah. But apparently the animators, they sketched him according to, and they look each like each other.
Yeah,
right?
They did a good job too of like the way the animation is drawn to embody the voice behind it. They always did a good job that way. Yeah. That's great.
But yeah, I feel Scar is one of those. Those top villains, at least for myself, because he did everything. Like, he was, he wanted to be the king, but he couldn't because he was Mufasa's younger brother, so it wasn't it wasn't for him. But technically he was second in line. But that couldn't happen now because now he had this nephew who he felt robbed him from that.
Very Shakespearean. It's based off Hamlet, right?
It is based off Hamlet. It was based on, loosely based on King Claudius, who was the villain in Hamlet. However, though, I also feel that Scar is such a hideous villain because he also reminded me of Hitler.
Yeah. Well, especially with the scene in the hyenas where he gets them all in line and they're just, be prepared, like, and they're just like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're even hailing Hitler kind of thing. Like something. They're doing something.
Saluting Scar.
They're saluting the Scar. But yeah, and the peak of his evilness, I think, came from when he obviously murdered. And I can't watch that movie now. But even as a kid, I think that was the beginnings of my getting sensitive. This is one, I think, one of the first movies. If I can put my finger on it, I'm going to say this is the movie that I started then having to stop watching it or fast forwarding through a part because I couldn't stomach it, where he digs his claws in Mufasa's paws.
And you see Mufasa's face change, like, oh my goodness, my son's going to watch me die.
But not even, like, just... I think also, like, the heartbreak. Like, he's like, I've always loved you. I've always taken care of you. Yeah. You've been a jackass, but you're my brother, kind of. That ultimate betrayal. And then after he just falls in a bed of the wildebeest, then he convinces Simba that it was all his fault.
Oh, horrible.
And then gets him to run away.
So, great villain.
It's awful. Like, and I think that was, like, the epitome, like, the... first real bad guy when I was a kid. I don't know.
I chose my list this time thinking of how I came up with Scar and the rest of my picks, except for one. There's only one here that doesn't fall into this category. I looked forward to seeing that character meet their fate. Like, I did not feel sad when Scar got what was coming to him.
See, funny enough... I'm not gonna say I felt bad for him, but I was scared for him because that's when the hyenas realize that wait a minute, we're more than he is, like, in numbers, and he's been mistreating us this whole time. And they literally, and I think you see him in this one scene, he really gets scared. Like, he starts, like, backing up. Like,
he knows everything's coming. Yeah, no.
Kind of got what you deserve, but I kind of feel bad how it went down. Yeah. So
he got a bigger heart than me then, because I was like, good, killed the kid's father and made the kid run.
Yeah,
away
he was terrible being, like, terrible. Yeah, that was my.
It's a good first pick. Oh, okay, I don't know which one to go with first here. I'm trying to. All right. I'm going to say, For me.
I'm so excited to hear what you have to say.
This one's a gimme. This is, I think, a common one. But I'm thinking there's the villains that are just evil and they're ruling and you hate them. But then you got the ones who are chasing you.
Oh, yeah.
And they never stop. And no matter what you do, it keeps coming. And keeps coming. And you're thinking to yourself, you never know where it could be. What could stop it? It just seems like a more...
It's killing me right now. Just saying, I'm getting scared. I'm
getting so scared.
The T-1000. Yes! T-1000. Yeah, he's on my list.
Really?
He really is, though.
Wow, you gotta have a backup, because we're taking each other's... The T-1000,
oh, man.
He isn't, like, the most... The actor himself isn't, like... Remember, so-and-so, it's not so much the actor, but that character.
Not even dialogue. It's not like he even said anything threatening. Barely says anything.
It's just the way he runs. Like, he's just lifeless, yeah. But you know that he wants to kill you.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
That's his mission.
When he blows half his face off, it just forms back together. It's just like, this is not stopping. This is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then he can form his hands into, like...
Swords.
Anything. He can do anything. Nothing mechanical, like with no moving parts, but as Arnold says, but like even when he is climbing on the car and he's like hooking into the trunk and just like he keeps coming no matter what they're shooting him with, it's just like, oh, he can't get away from this thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that as a kid, it's like, what a great bad guy, because I'm scared of that thing, of someone chasing you relentlessly until you're dead. That's all it cares about. And it could look like anyone. Right?
Yeah.
Oh. When he kills the guy with the coffee mug and puts the thing through. Oh, wow. Yeah, T-1000. That's,
But he's
that
left one of, mark. Like, but he's also, like, one of the coolest villains,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not just fear, but it's exactly. Also, like, oh, my goodness, if I could be anything, I want to be that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was one of those ones that came to my mind of... the effect that it had on me when I saw it, and it still sticks with me now.
Okay, so I'm marking that off my list.
I'm gonna need your pen, please. Gotta take off Scar off my list. So T-1000 for me. Daf J, you're up next.
Okay, well, see, this is another one where I don't, again, from my childhood.
Yeah.
However, I don't remember watching it in its entirety.
Mm.
Maybe I did.
Okay.
But it left a mark on me that I can remember. I remember it. Charles Lee Ray.
I don't know what that is.
Also known as Chucky.
Oh! I wasn't allowed to watch Chucky. No horror movies. So
this is what I'm saying. I don't remember watching it, but I remember enough of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it may have been... maybe I was with my older sibling and we were with friends, or it was maybe on TV, or maybe it was one of those, let's rent it just for the night kind of thing. And yeah, that freaks the hell out of me.
Yeah, there was no chance of I was going to watch it as a kid. It's weird. I've seen a lot of things as a kid that I shouldn't have seen, but like
movies. But see, let me tell you something now. The fact that you didn't even see it but know exactly what I'm referring
yes.
to, this is what makes a villain
right.
top 10, I think. Even though you haven't seen it, don't know anything about it, but as soon as I say the name...
Yeah. It always, like, I don't want...
1 point for me, I think.
You picked Chucky? We're doing this by point system?
No, I was saying a point, like... A point, yeah, a point system. Yes, I deserve a point. But I also mean a point, like my point. Like,
okay.
What I just nagged that just now.
Oh.
You don't necessarily have to have watched it or
I get what
whatever,
you're saying.
But it's such a pivotal character that everybody will know who you're talking about.
I get
about.
What you mean. And it strikes, for me, it freaks me out. I never wanted to watch it because I thought it would ruin my, like, looking at my teddy bear. That was on my shelf as a kid or something, that it would start talking to me. Like, I was, yeah. So you don't remember ever watching? They had a lot of sequels to that.
Tons. I just remembered the title. Child's Play, I think, was the first. And then I remember there being a Bride of Chucky. So I'm checking. I'm guessing there was a chick who also went a little. But, so since you don't know anything about it. I did a little research too, which also was making me sweat a little bit while I was prepping for this. Because
you can't see it, but Daph J is adjusting herself right now, buttoning up her shirt and fixing her hair.
Chucky is a killer doll. Oh, so you criticized me about the ice cube, and yet...
Did you hear it? You didn't hear it.
I can hear it in your mouth.
Because you're talking to me.
Unbelievable. So disturbing to the rest of us. Hi, Kobe. So yeah, he's this killer doll who has these crazy eyes, the red hair, freckles. And those two things kind of freak me out, especially when they're together.
Yeah.
The red hair and freckles.
Imagine seeing someone cosplay as Chucky.
Ugh. You know, he has eyebrows, but you can't really see them because he can't. It's that kind of stuff that messes with my head.
It's the eyebrows.
The eyebrows.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know this growing up. Like, I just thought it was a crazy doll. But apparently, and I only know this because I looked it up, Charles Lee Ray is this individual. He's a voodoo practitioner. Okay? I didn't know this. But what happened was he had transferred his soul into this sweet doll. Basically trying, I guess, buy time for himself until he can reemerge again as a person. I don't know. He was trying not to go into one realm and he wasn't allowed to go into another. So he was kind of buying himself time. But now he had to do something within a certain time frame before he was stuck into this doll for like all eternity. And that's why he was terrorizing the family that brought him into the home. And that's when things get crazy. I didn't know any of this. I don't remember any of this.
Mom and Dad, for not making me watch this movie, because I still think I would have.
I think it came out. I didn't write it down, but I think it originally came out in 88. How old would I have been in 88?
Four.
Yeah, so I was a little pipsqueak. I don't know anything.
You're still a pipsqueak.
I didn't know any purpose as to what this thing was doing. I just saw him running. I just remember overalls and a knife.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that to my friend once.
Oy.
When we were going to school, we would play with knives. It's a past of mine. But this is what we would do.
You just brushed over that. Like, chasing your friend with a knife is not a big deal.
Like, we were stupid kids. Like, hey, she would come over to my house in the morning so we could walk to school together, which school was right across the street. But we, you know, partnered up. In the mornings, though, we would, like, have Eggos. And then we would play with knives. Not the dull ones. And then we would chase around each other around the house with them. I know it sounds terrible. It sounds awful. But you know what it was? It was the thrill of being chased.
Like the T-1000.
Okay, so then we went into the hallway of the apartment building and we just ran up and down with knives and then we put them away and went to school. But why are you shaking your head? Why are you judging me shaking your head? Like, you didn't do anything stupid? I'll tell you another thing that I did was dumb. I was dared by my friends. I should change my circle of friends. to lay under a running Mack truck. Like it was running. Like it was on.
And you had a death wish as a kid.
I had to lay under there for I think 45 seconds.
Were you scared?
Of course I was! The stupid thing could have started any minute now. So I went in. And then I was timed.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, new friends.
I did stupid things. And the chasing of the knives was one of them. It was the thrill. And then, like I said, obviously we're okay. She's alive, I'm alive.
The jury's still out on this one.
We're fine. But yeah. I don't know where I went with that story, but it happened. And so me and Chucky have something in common.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's it. That was the guy. That was my number two.
I'm scared to find out what other characters you pick because you got stuff in common. Chasing around with knives and overalls.
Anyway. Yeah.
Chucky.
I also like the name.
Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
It terrifies me.
Really?
Because I think of that scary looking doll. Like, I've seen it enough when it's playing like on TV or something and hearing him laugh.
They play it on TV?
Like, Yeah, they put it on.
I haven't. Like, let me tell you something. I have not seen it as an adult.
No.
So I don't. I'm telling you, I do not know. I did not know, and still don't know what this whole movie is about. I did the research. I'm probably telling it all wrong. Whoever's listening to me, like, that's not what it was about, or that's not what happened. Like, I don't know. I just remember a small child with scars on his face. Ugh. Doing this. Yeah.
So Chucky and Scar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to stick in the realm of toys that are villains. And as I was thinking about this list, I'm like, that character. Oh, like... The words that come to me, none of them are nice. Lotso from Toy Story 3.
Oh.
Oh, right? That
oh.
All purple and looks so cuddly and he seems so benevolent. But meanwhile, he's like ready to put them in the incinerator. Like he's just...
He was terrible.
Right? Lotso.
When you first said his name, I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wait.
Right? Everything about that. Stupid. I'm trying to keep it PG, but yeah, that SOB, what he almost did to Woody and Buzz and the gang,
man.
And it was, they're toys, you know, they're toys. It's all like, this is a ridiculous notion to think that, but in that world of make believe, and you know, you allow yourself to immerse yourself in it. When they're all going about to hit the incinerator and you see the look on all their faces, like, this is it for us.
I think I remember tearing up when I saw that.
Like, you feel it. And yeah. That guy's all behind it, but because, you know, of what? That control.
You
oh.
Know, but when,
Lotso.
That was, I think, his... See, what bothers me about him, it's not just the incinerator thing. It was everything before that. That he was running the school.
That's what I mean. That's what I
like,
mean.
Like, some kind of... what's it called when you're in the army?
Drill sergeant?
Yeah. And he, like, barricaded them. He like, I bet if toys would eat, he wouldn't feed them. Like, he was that type of, I don't know, he was, like, torturing them.
Yeah.
And just, like, a crazy...
The whole setup of how he ran the place, and yeah. It was, yeah, it gave you that feeling. Of like,
it was a mobster. He was like a mobster.
I wouldn't have minded Chucky getting into the school and stabbing the stuffing out of him. That's how he made me feel.
Stabbing
the stuffing out of him. So when he ends up at the truck at the end, movie spoilers, and he's just there.
That was great. That was satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Very satisfying. Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted him to get into the incinerator. This is the thing. Like, as terrible as these things are, like, I don't want bad things to happen to them. But to get what they deserve...
Yep.
Like, so, yeah, those truck drivers would tie them at the...
Yeah, it was great. That was so good.
Yeah. But it's true. He was not a nice bear.
Not at all.
No. But you know what?
Which villain from Toy Story? Is it Toy Story 2? What's the guy's name? The one that's part of the Woody set?
Stinky Pete.
Him or Lotso?
Both of them.
I was debating.
I did not like Stinky Pete either.
I was debating which one.
And you know what it
two.
Is about both of them? Is that they were self-centered individuals that just... And they had a vendetta.
Yeah.
They had a vendetta and they took it out on everybody else because they felt victimized for what someone else did to them. So they took it there.
Yeah.
And it was unfair.
Oh.
Justice.
Injustice.
Injustice.
If you will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lotso. Did you think of that?
You want to know what? It's crazy that you mentioned him, because I think he's the reason why I don't watch Toy Story 3.
Yeah, you're not a big fan.
He makes me cringe.
But that's a good villain.
I understand. I understand your pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect it.
You respect it.
Yeah.
Point for me. We're tied. All right, number 3 for you. Go ahead.
Speaking of things that pretend to be one thing, but they're really not, I've always had... This is a very hard... Okay, so...
This is like confessional for you. Like, this therapy session. Martin Slandum's like, I just want your top 10 villains. Like, just tell me which ones just you like. Just say it.
Okay, so, I've always had this thing. Always.
Uh-huh.
But when I watched this particular movie, it was the nail in the coffin.
Okay.
So, I have a fear of clowns. A real fear of clowns.
Yeah, you do. Like, yeah, you really do.
I will run the other way. In fact, I did that a couple of times before.
Yeah, you do.
So, Pennywise.
Of course. It.
And I think he's everyone's nightmare. Not just mine.
But you like the Joker. That's the thing. You have a fear of clowns, but you love the Joker.
But you know what? I feel like the Joker is a little bit more straight up about what he's going to do to you, as opposed to this clown. Did you know that... This is hard to talk about because it's... Okay, so... he shapeshifts.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does. And because of that, he can manipulate and trick people. So his in this movie, it's based on Stephen King's
yeah.
novel, but in the movie, he's more portrayed as this crazy clown. And he then... So, I need a drink. I'm out. I need, hold on.
I've seen this, I've seen this movie once, and it was with you, when we were young, and I thought it was the dumbest movie. Like, I didn't understand why everyone was scared of it, but I also saw it at a different time in my life, so... I don't remember it. So
yeah,
tell me about the shapeshifting.
So he takes the form of a sadistic clown, right?
Okay.
And that's what he uses to decoy a child when he's stalking them.
So what is he exactly?
So he's apparently from this unknown origin. He came from some kind of dimension called the Deadlights.
Okay.
So his true form is never really revealed until... later on, where it's suspected that he's some kind of spider-looking thing, but no one really knows what it is, and that's how he's known
as it.
So yeah, and so what he does, he was this thing that landed on Earth, specifically Derry, Maine, this small little town, where. This, why are you laughing?
I love the research
to,
that you put into all of your picks.
Well, the question was, who is it and why? And I'm telling you why and where this individual... Okay, so... So what he would do was he would hibernate for about 3 decades and then wake up for about 2 years something. And while he's awake, he has to eat. So he eats...
Children. If you're going to kill anything, kill the kid, right, Daft J?
And the thing that was crazy is that he would shapeshift in things that the victim feared the most. Which... And then I'm like...
You're really scared right now. You want me to take over number 3?
No, so he has like razor sharp teeth. Hello. Who's not scared of that? Jaws. He has this crazy, crazy hairline. Like it's way back to here. And again with the red hair. I think, you know what? I think on my list I'm going to add red hair. Because I don't know if I can handle it. I cannot. I cannot do the red hair. I think it's one of my subliminal fears. I don't know if I'm...
You're getting so nervous
no offense
right now.
To anyone who's a redhead, but seriously, I don't know if I can do it. Or not all shades of red. I think just that bright, crazy, fire, red hair.
Oh, boy.
So I've never liked clowns. And mostly because I feel like it's this thing pretending to be something that they're not. It could, and anyone who's playing a clown. It could be any person. It could be a drunk. It could be a pedophile. It could be anything. And they're just trying to get close, which is, of course, hello, of course, he uses the clown to try to, you're holding my hand? I didn't even realize we're holding hands. We need to change the subject. He's terrible. It's terrible. I've never watched it again. However, yeah, I've never
You're holding my hand. I don't know if you realize. You keep reaching for it.
Okay, I'm done.
You're done. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's Do you change. Agree?
I agree.
Especially, are you just saying that because no, I'm afraid
I see,
right now?
I see the terror in your eyes, and I know that people are scared of clowns because of this particular movie, and I think that, you know, if that's the impression something leaves on you, hey, that's a good freaking villain, right? What can you say?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I feel like you're going to really have a breakdown if you're talking about...
Yeah, let's move on. Okay. There you go.
There we go. So, I got rid of Scar. I'm going to reinsert the one that I had there originally, and I'm going with King Koopa from Super Mario Brothers. Okay?
Good for you.
Yeah, because this guy is always taking Mario's girl, locking her up in different castles. This guy just wants to be a common plumber, mind his business, come home to his princess, and he has to go into some crazy land to find her.
You know, in Koopa's defense, princess should just lock the door. Like, how many times is she going to be captured and taken?
But how many... when you play Mario and you finally get to Koopa and you see this fire breathing... And the music's playing.
Is he a dinosaur or a dragon?
He's like he's a fire-breathing dragon slash dinosaur.
So both.
Everything. But you worked so hard to get to him. And back then, you know, when you played video games, unless you knew the cheat codes... There was a timer. There's a timer. But you didn't have unlimited lives. So you had real rage when you almost got there and you had one or two lives left and there was no coins to grab in order to get a couple more lives. And it says, you know, that game over and no more continue option because of that stupid dragon. And level 8 on Super Mario Brothers 3 was a pain in the butt. Because remember in Super Mario 3 you finally get to level 8, it's Koopa's castle, but you have the tank
They're
level.
They're all level 8s. It's always Koopa's Castle in level 8.
No, but the very final world. World 8. That's what I meant to say. World 8. Yeah. Right? You get... So I'm thinking Super Mario Bros. 3 specifically. Because you get there, and you got the tank. And then the one that's underwater, the boat. And then you finally get to the other side of the map. And you got the hand that grabs you down as you try to cross it. You remember?
There's a hand?
Yeah. As you try to cross over, there's like these short little levels that the hand grabs you down into it, and you don't know which one it's going to pick you on. You don't remember that?
No.
I'll show you when we play.
Are you making it up?
I'm not making it
Why
up.
Why do you not remember this?
Yeah, man.
The hands sound freakier than Koopa.
So that whole level, and then you get to the other side, and the map is, like, dark, and it just does, like, a spotlight for you as you go down it. Then you get to Koopa, and he has to smash the bricks as he falls into the pits of despair. Yeah.
The pits of despair.
Yeah, that's a Princess Bride pull.
I know that.
But, yeah, Koopa, man. Wasn't he on every kids of our generation's list of, like, villain that just... Who liked Koopa?
See, and in Mario's world, my top villain was the, Cheep Cheeps.
The who?
The Cheep Cheeps.
What are the Cheep Cheeps?
The fish. In the water levels.
Oh.
They were the worst.
Is that on your list?
That is on my list.
No way.
Yeah. The fish.
We both were thinking Super Mario. Yeah.
The fish were the worst.
Or how about the octopi? The octopus that chased you.
No, I didn't. No, but the fish would chase you and they would chase you quick. Like they would go rapid. There was different color ones. I think it was the red and white one. The green ones, I think, were the passive ones, where they would kind of, like, swim past you, so you just had to kind of swim around them. Mm-hmm. But then there was another one where if you looked, they would be sleeping! Ah! They would be sleeping!
It's like the ghosts when you got to the ghost cat.
Yes, Boo! Yeah. Boo was on my list, and then I was like, okay, I can't make this heart Mario heavy, but the Boo was on my list,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because you
but
see
yeah,
it.
They pretend to not.
Yeah.
They're
it
like, yeah,
the
we're
teeth.
Not here, but then we're here.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, out of all of the levels, I hate water levels. I would always pass it on to my brother to just play it because honestly, it would stress me out. The fish, I they made me not want to play the game.
Really?
Yeah, it would get me hot, and the controller, it would...
The water levels were hard.
They were very hard. They were very hard.
Because you
hard.
Didn't know how much... Because Mario just couldn't run. He had to, like, depending on how much you press the button, it would go up, up, up. And then sometimes you had to time it right so that he would just lower himself underneath whatever he had to
pass. And you know
what?
And sometimes they would jump out of the water, too, to get you.
Yes.
Yeah. And those were tough, too, because the only way you can defeat them was with a fireball. If you went in there with just, like, even if you went in there as a raccoon, or if you had the cape, and all the Mario renditions, there was no other way that you can defeat them unless you had fire.
It's interesting. Both of us have a little bit of fear, or...
Maybe your cape. Maybe your cape. I don't remember if you spun, if that's even a thing... If I remember correctly, if that's even a thing, you had to time it precisely. If not, they would take you out.
Precisely.
Yeah. No, there was no other way to take them out.
What's your favorite Mario game? World was good. World was a good one, but I'm going to go with 3 for me.
I know you like 3. You've always said 3. I don't know. It's between World and 2.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to... Okay, Mario 2 is, I'm like the one guy who, that's actually my favorite one, because it's different.
Yeah, it's either World or 2. World because Yoshi's in it.
Okay.
And it's like crisp, it's new.
Yeah.
I remember the caterpillar guys.
It was a good game.
It was a great game.
Yoshi. That was, yeah.
But yeah, 2 I liked. I think it was the first one, there was no timer.
Yes.
So my God, thanks. I have all day to actually figure this out.
And you can go back.
Yes, you can go back in the screen.
Yeah, because it wasn't an official Mario game. It was another game in Japan, and they changed the animation on it and marketed it as Super Mario 2 here. But it was a different game originally.
But what I did hate about 2 was Luigi.
Yeah, Twinkle Toes.
I couldn't handle him. I never played him.
He was hard to control.
But I think he was good for a couple of...
Level 6.
Yeah. A couple of ones,
You have to jump high.
And then if you were doing any pyramid stuff, you had to take
Toad. Digged.
Yeah.
Dug. Digged. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I wasn't a fan of the fish. That's
Koopa, go from the big boss, fire-breathing dragon, to the underwater. To elements. We're scared of the elements here.
The underwater minion, yeah.
Okay, is it back to me?
Yes, it
okay.
is. Okay.
I'm going to go with... I was thinking about it as a kid. I was a big wrestling fan, and so in my DNA, I got.
I was waiting for this.
Yeah,
I'm like, there's no wrestling people.
Yeah, I was a big wrestling fan as a kid. I grew out of it, but you know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, loved me some wrestling, and I was thinking I gotta pick one villain from that, at least one. I'm trying to think of the consummate bad guy who I enjoyed seeing get what he deserved. So came to mind, I was terrified of Andre the Giant. There's this one guy named Bad News Brown. He just seemed like the toughest, angriest guy in the world. I don't even think he had theme music. He just walked to the ring. So he was scary to me. Hulk Hogan made a movie called No Holds Barred. And the character was a cross-eyed... black man named Zeus. I was terrified of him, but that's not the villain.
I thought Zeus was with Macho Man.
He came to WWF afterwards while they were trying to market the movie to be like, there's a movie, but he's actually coming for you in real life. This is after the movie type of thing. So it was trying to make some sort of synergy between the movie and... But I think the one villain who stands out the most in all of WWFE, whatever, wrestling history is Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is the best villain you can think of, because you hate him, you don't know what part of it is real and what part of it is fake, because I think he played himself a lot, but then the satisfaction of seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin give him a stunner,
never, I remember that.
Never got old. It was fantastic, and he was a great villain. When he can go from being very businesslike and political to the "you're fired." Ah, the things he would do, just there's so much to hate. Great villain.
But when he would fire these people, was it like
the show?
It was all show.
Some of them he really fired like after the fact, that's but what not I mean. On the but show. Not on air. No, okay. Not on air. No, that's all part of the show.
Right.
Yeah. But a lot of times the stuff that he did for show was how he did it for real. I mean, I don't think he did the voice necessarily, but business is business. Remember what, you don't remember the Bret Hart story?
Yeah, I do.
So they're like, you know what? Take that character that you, that people think you are, or how you handled that situation in real life, and bring it to life on the television. That's what he did. And it was because of that incident that Mr. McMahon was born. So it was very blurred line. So Vince McMahon, top 10 villains for me. One of them.
Hmm.
There you go.
That's interesting. I was thinking like, I didn't think he'd go for the boss. I was thinking like a Triple H or like, what's it called?
Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, there's so many.
There's so many. So many
like
good ones.
Like the Undertaker. Like, I'm thinking, like, these high profile, like, and they actually played bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, they actually were the bad guys in this.
Yeah.
In this world. But I didn't think you'd go for the big man.
Yeah, yeah, the big man. Have to.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There you go. It's another episode, Top 10 Wrestling Heels.
I don't know how much I can keep up with you there.
Maybe not, but, like, I could do that. I gotta find someone to do that with. Got a couple of people I can do that with. Okay, your turn.
Principal Rooney.
Ooh, very good. Yeah, hate him. Grace! Hate him.
Favorite movie?
Yeah.
Worst villain.
Absolutely. That's part of... That's what make. Would it be as good if there wasn't a Rooney? Right? Getting kicked to the face? Oh, that was so good.
He was just slimy and obsessive.
Yeah.
He didn't understand boundaries. Like, what are you doing in my kitchen? Like, that's not okay. By any means, not okay.
Oh.
And then...
Enjoyed seeing everything that happened to him.
Yeah. Like... Yeah. He should have deserved that and more.
What does he have in common with the other villains you've picked?
Is this a trick question?
No. Not at all. It just occurred to me.
Who were my villains? Okay, I got the Cheap Cheap.
Pennywise.
Scar. And Chucky.
So Chucky, Pennywise, Rooney.
They're all bald. No, red hair! Oh my god.
Bright light, bright light! Red hair, red hair!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there you go. There's a connection here. Wow. Wow.
That's
yeah.
Disgusting. I'm in shock.
Right? It occurred to me. I'm like, wow, another person with red hair. Hopefully any listeners with red hair aren't being offended. I like ya.
Yeah. Don't get offended. It's not them. It's not you. It's them. Yeah. It's them.
Yeah. And Daft J and her view.
It's like people with crooked teeth. Nothing against you.
Oh!
But no. Let me rephrase that. Normally, when you got like a really bad guy, like a monster, does their dentition look quite appealing to you?
Usually not.
Exactly. They're overly crowded. They're a little bit sharp. They're chipped. They're discolored. I mean, there are certain things mm-hmm. that emphasize or bring out the character.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And I think Hollywood has made redhead people... Okay, no, I'm serious. I think there is some kind of like subliminal.
I love how you message. Can't say subliminal.
Like, you know, anyone who's blonde and blue-eyed, they're like the angel, the one that will save the day. You know what I mean? But like the brunette is like the hard, edgy, will break the rules kind of thing. And then you have like the redheads that, you know, scare you. And then you have, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's like, or has been... A thing like that before, right? No? You don't think so? Am I wrong? Am I just rambling? I'm rambling.
I think you got a thing against redheads, Daft J. That's what we're establishing with this.
Principal Rooney was just, he needed to get a hobby. Everything, the way he looked, his mustache.
Yeah.
That mustache.
Just looked like a pervert.
Yes. And you want to know what? Like, bad things came out after.
Yeah.
Afterwards. So. Good. Which pick. Made him even more creepy.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Principal Rooney. I almost put him on my list. He was on my, he's on my alternates. Yeah. My honorable mentions. He's there. Good pick. Okay. I think I'm on my fifth one. I'm trying to see what I got left here. Okay. This is my comic book related pick. And I'm going to go with the Kingpin. But Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. Because this isn't like a nostalgia one. Like the other ones have been a little bit more. But his portrayal of the character, I feel, has been the most, like, it added so many layers to the personality and the motivations and the little nuances of what makes him operate. I mean, I read him enough in the comics, being a Spider-Man, Daredevil villain, but in this one, seeing him go from, like, this large, intimidating person who can be so soft and almost hesitant, and when he talks and has like this appreciation for art, like he talks this way, and then to just see him snap and have all this rage come out of him, this pent up rage, when you embarrass him, when you insult, like whatever it might be, disrespect, and then he calms right back down.
Is it rage or is it like a disorder? Like, I feel like maybe he suffers from bipolar.
Something. There's like, something there, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if in the comics or even on the show if they'll ever, like, delve into that kind of thing. But, but because he's a terrible person, I understand why you picked him. But I almost sympathize for him, too, because sometimes people just misunderstood.
But that's the thing, right? Is that there's a part of you that...
Like, maybe if he just took a pill a day, that would just... clear itself right up.
Like, something. You almost feel like there's a goodness to him. Like, when you see how he is for Vanessa.
Yeah.
And you feel like there's a goodness to him, but then there's this total fear. Like, he will just... Spoilers, by the way. When he does what he does to Ben Urich, and they have, like, a conversation for 5 minutes... prior to...
I don't even remember what he does to Ben Urich. Well, I think he did like a Bambi thing. Like a mom Bambi thing. Where he just stopped showing up.
Who?
Ben Urich.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember him being...
I forget what motivate... But I think Ben Urich goes to speak to Kingpin's mother. In the old age home that she's at. To get a little bit of information about his background, of Wilson's background, and it's like such an intrusion on Wilson Fisk's history.
Right, okay.
And so he goes to see Ben Urich in his home. He's just sitting in a chair waiting for him, and he talks to him for like 5 minutes, and you could see Urich feeling like completely frightened, but it's not based off of the tone of what Kingpin is saying. But then he just jumps out of the chair and beats him to death.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's just that switch that goes off. And I'm such a good... I feel like it wasn't given enough recognition of how, the performance of that character and bringing it to life and adding layers to it.
Have they not said anything about it?
I mean, I'm sure they said, Vincent D'Onofrio's performance, but like, he should have gotten an award. Like, nominated. Minimum.
Yeah, but I think those types of shows or movies or whatever, they'll always go unnoticed.
That's what I mean. They go unnoticed, and it doesn't deserve to be. He deserves recognition. I don't know, great villain. The stature, the...
But his rendition of
his
it.
His rendition.
Not necessarily the Kingpin itself.
Not necessarily Kingpin himself,
okay.
But him.
I understand.
Made me a pre... Like, I have to put him on this list for myself, personally.
Interesting. So can I, now that you did something, can I get the green light to
yeah, of course.
Refer to a comic book character, but not really, but
We'll take it to the jury. Really, we'll see what the contracts, if it allows you to do this. But
I really can't stand this guy. I cannot. Like, I watch it, and any rendition of him makes me...
I know who it is. I know who it is. I know who it is. I know who it is.
Yeah.
William Stryker.
Hate him.
Yeah.
Hate him. Can't do it.
Yeah.
He's just the epitome of...
Any version.
Any version.
Yeah. He shows up on the screen...
I honestly view him as a supremacist.
Yeah.
I really do. I can't... He's just obsessive. Apparently, I guess in the... What is it? The God loves, man kills?
Yeah, it's the X-Men.
Doesn't he end up killing his own wife or something? Because she gives birth to his son who turns out to be a mutant?
Yeah.
Like, how vindictive are you...
It's crazy.
...to have this, like... You're messed up, but he's driven by that same kind of, I don't know, like, for you to make it your life's mission to make everybody else's life miserable and torture them, and you get a kick out of that, something right with you in the head. Like, you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
And everything about him, the in the X-Men Origins, the Danny Huston, he portrayed him, and in this particular movie, he was basically capturing and torturing children. Like, he had them in cages, and whatever power they possessed, he made sure to encase them where they couldn't use these powers. Then Brian Cox was the one in the X-Men movies where he basically experiments on his own son.
Right. He's the one.
Which is ruthless.
He's the one who I feel set the tone. Of what?
Well, he was, I guess, the first one in the film, yeah. Right?
And that actor in particular is a great villain. Like, a character actor, he knows how to automatically... Like, even when I saw him in Red, he wasn't a villain, but I felt like he was. Just because it was him being played.
Right. But then when he wasn't, he was an endearing man, though.
He was, but it was hard to get past it. Because at any moment, I'm like, he's a bad guy. He's gonna... Yeah. He's the bad guy. That's what I thought to myself.
Right. And then... the young Stryker, who was in the latest X-Men's, I guess, what's his name, Josh Hellman or something like that, he also had that look of, I don't care about you, I don't care about you, I don't care about you, it's what I want,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even when his men are falling, you would think that someone who holds that type of authority in the military, like, you know, that's my men. I won't leave my men behind. He'll be like, I'll be right back. And then he'll just leave. Like, yeah. Just this self-indulgent individual who just thinks about himself and no one else.
Yeah.
I think that's terrible. And I don't...
Even just the look of their faces makes you sick.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think what makes his villain so villainous to me is that they're... His character is real. Like, there are people like that in this world. It's a me first world kind of thing.
And people
will do anything to just step right over your corpse just to keep going because it works for them.
Right, right. It hits
which
home.
Is a scary thought. Right. It's a scary thought, which is why I picked him as a villain.
It's a good pick. I like it.
You're welcome.
Point for you. Okay. I'm on six now. So going back to the idea of kind of like the T-1000, the fear of technology or some sort of machine like thing chasing you that is beyond just it lacks the emotion, but it is persistent.
I think I know what you're doing.
Okay, but. And to me, this is a real fear. Like, I feel like this could happen nowadays.
I think I know where you're going.
And I just feel like my biggest fear, and I think a lot of us may have it, because of this technological world.
I think I know where you're going.
Okay, let me finish. This technological world that, and I just feel like you're being tracked all the time. So that if they ever want to get you, they'll pull you in a room. Throw a file down and
just, I knew you were gonna do it. I knew it.
And just give you the Mr. Anderson. Oh, Agent Smith. when he flips through it and his, like, the way he speaks and talks, Mr. Anderson. Oh, gets me. I just, he freaks me out. And a legitimate fear, I feel like it's going to happen to me one day. They're just going to go through a file and be like,
the file of your life?
Yeah, so we know everything you've done, Eric Anthony. And we just want to let you know that we need you to do this or everyone will know what you've done with your life. Ah! Just thinking of them make me want to just like throw every electronical device out of my house.
Wow.
Agent Smith. And he multiplies and he keeps coming. And just when you think you've beaten it, it just...
getting this superhuman abilities, right? Like he was... But you know what was messed up about him is that I think he didn't like the Matrix nor... Like, he didn't like the tech world, but neither did he like the humanity of it. Like, he was...
Yeah, he just...
He hated everything.
He hated what...
Because he complains to Morpheus, right? About the Matrix.
Yeah, the sweat.
And everything...
All of the...
Yeah, yeah. He's like, everything smells disgusting.
Yeah. So, his detail of how he felt about what his role in his life was, even though it was a matrix, and he was kind of like a firewall, or what you might say, like running it and making sure it stays in order and it's not, and that the matrix is not exposed. He had no humanity, any real humanity, but he expressed himself in such a way of so much emotion, and it freaks you out. Any idea, like, the Terminator future and this Matrix idea, it gives me legitimate fear because I feel like people are leaning towards, like, oh, wow, look at what my phone can do for me now. Look at what...
Yeah, I can lock my doors with my phone. All of this stuff. I can close my blinds
with
my phone.
And people are okay with it. They're like, yeah, I don't gotta do nothing now. I go to the grocery store and I don't need a person there. Makes me feel like I'm working at the grocery store.
My refrigerator tells me when my milk is out. Like, it's insane, the world that we're living in now.
Yeah, your refrigerator is going to pop an arm out and rip your head off next week, too, before you know it. It's going to happen. And I'm scared of Agent Smith and T-1000, because they're going to come after me.
Yeah, he's an intimidating...
And most likely they're going to be redheads for you. Imagine...
That's terrible. I'm going to have nightmares today. That's what's going to happen.
Your turn.
I feel like I need to lighten this up a little bit because it really, this is fun, but it's getting hard to get through a little bit.
Yeah, as the sun's going down. Go for it. Lighten it up. Make me laugh. Give me something interesting.
You know who, he's a villain, I think, in my world. And, however, he doesn't give me the creeps the way all these other people have.
Okay.
I'm
already laughing.
He's a villain in my world, and I think he's the villain on Sesame Street, too. Because everyone's like, why are you such a grouch? And it's like, Oscar's like, listen. I like who I am. I like the crap that I have. If you have a problem with it, you can get out of here. He's a no-nonsense guy, and I like it.
I don't like it. I'm not happy.
I think he's great. I think his favorite thing is the trash. And you know what? I learned something from him though growing up.
Oh.
And no, I do. I respect that because he makes no apologies for who he is and what his preferences are. And you can kiss it if you don't agree. You know what I mean? I don't know. I like him. I like that he's angry. I like that he's bitter.
I did want to go up to his trash can. Like, I thought it was the most amazing place on Sesame Street because he had elephants.
he had everything down there.
Which,
that was the only issue I have with him. He's a compulsive hoarder. Like, that's my only issue. Other than that, I love that he speaks his mind. I love that he just, like, owns it. He's happy where he is with the minimal things.
But he's not happy, and he's a hoarder. Is it minimal?
No, I know, but he's grouchy, but, like, he's like, at the end of the day, this is what I like. This is what I want. This is what I've made for myself. This is my nest. And keep moving if you don't want to. You know what I mean? Like, he just...
why is everybody so happy? I think you like him because you can relate to him.
He yells at everybody.
Yeah, you can relate to him. And he's the only one at Sesame Street who doesn't like the kids.
Yeah, Oscar the Grouch, you. I think, is a great
Daphne villain. The Grump. Not that they should have made another character. Oscar the Grouch, meet Daphne the Grump. Good pick. You lightened it up. Thank you.
You know. Also from my childhood. Like,
a lot of these are from our childhood, seems, except for Kingpin for me. Well, lots of them. I mean, I wasn't a kid when that came out. Okay. I did Agent Smith. All right. Speaking of movies that I shouldn't have watched as a child.
But you did?
Oh, yeah.
As an adult, or again, or did you?
Oh, I grew up on it as a kid. Loved it. Terrifying when I think of it now that I liked it.
Ooh.
But I still like it. Because I grew up on it. But love the adventure. I love, you know, the gotta go get something. You know, the MacGuffin. Gotta get it. Save people. Go back. Stop the bad guys.
I know what you're doing.
What am I doing? No, don't say it. But.
Do I know?
You definitely know what it is. But the villain is so bad and terrifying. And every time you see it, it like...
And terrifying.
It's terrifying. Like, he terrified me as a kid.
Huh.
And I was just like, oh my goodness, what this man is capable of doing. And the way he spoke, and the way he shouted, and where their lair was. It's like, where the heck is this place? How does this even exist? And the fear in the person that you see him kill in the movie when he enters the scene and he's just chanting to himself. And then he puts his hand on the guy's chest and he says, Kali,
oh.
Kalima. And then, Hum Nam Shiva, Hum Nam Shiva. As he's going into the lava in Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Malaram. Terrifying villain.
That guy had a name?
Malaram. You don't remember when Harrison Ford says it to him on the bridge?
No.
Malaram. And he's about to cut the bridge down. No. And then he puts his hand on Indy's chest. Yes, as they're hanging.
That I do remember.
Oh. Malaram. Terrifying. And he would shout, you will be down there, Dr. Jones! With that bald head with the paint on it.
Yeah.
Oh, freaked me out. And his big, buggy eyes. Like, he just never left.
Okay, put your eyes back in your sockets now.
Yeah, he was terrifying.
Really?
Yeah, that guy terrified me as a kid. Like, but he was a good villain.
You know what terrified me about that movie? It was the ritual.
Yeah,
that's more than just one man. It was the idea of, like, everyone is okay with this person being burned in the fire.
That's what I mean. And he had a smile on his face.
Yeah, it was like a diabolical.
Yeah.
It was diabolical.
Totally
look
evil.
About
him. Totally wicked.
Yeah.
And then poison Indy, when they make him drink the poison or whatever, and he becomes like one of their followers.
Oh man. I thought he was pretending.
Me too, but no.
He actually fell under the spell or something.
Yeah, and Shorty had to flash him with some fire, burn him to get him to wake up.
Man.
Remember when
I guess as a kid, that is a little bit intimidating.
To me, he's the, out of the Indiana Jones movies, he's the villain that kind of embodies just pure evil. Like, he ripped the guy's heart out of his chest.
And Did they actually show it?
Yeah, they showed it. I mean, I had a television version recording when I was little, so I don't think they showed it on that. But when I bought the DVD box set, I mean, I'm going to get the DVD box set for Raiders and Last Crusade, yeah. Right? So Temple of Doom. It's the worst of the three. Like, even Steven Spielberg says, like, yeah, it's not the best of the three. But for me, like, there's things in it. It's like Super Mario 2. It's the most different. Because they're not fighting Nazis, you know? Yeah, yeah. So it's the one that kind of has those little... But he was terrifying. Malaram. What a name. Right?
Yeah.
No? Point for me?
I thought he was like the chief or something.
I don't know.
I didn't know he had a name.
Well, because this
Look
was
at that.
This was the thing too, right? You had the temple or Bangkok Palace, they called it, right? You go to Bangkok, find Sivalingam, right?
You know all the words.
Oh yeah.
In the movie.
And so when they go there and you got that guy with the glasses I forget his name. He was supposed to be like some sort of representative for the prince.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Then he's in the cult. And then the little kid is in the cult. And it's like, who's the boss here? Malaram seems to be the boss. Just crazy. And they had all those kids, like you said. The way Stryker had all those kids, where he enslaved all these little poor kids. It's terrifying. Did you know... Sorry, I'm on a tangent here. Did you know it was the same guy... Indy fought the same guy in Temple of Doom, where he's got the big, huge beard and the sword. He's like the main enforcer for the little kids. He's got that. Remember Indy fights him and they're on the little trolley that's breaking all of the rocks?
I remember the trolley and the rocks. I don't remember the guy he was fighting.
So the guy he was fighting was also in Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're in the bar fighting.
Not as the same character.
Not as the same character, but I'm pretty sure it was the same actor, if I'm not mistaken. Little fact. Could be wrong. Look it up. Email me if I'm wrong. I dare you. Your turn. Ugh, Kalima.
So I didn't like this guy.
You don't like any of these guys.
And I kind of didn't watch the show because of this guy.
Okay.
It was a popular show. One of your faves.
Oh, I know what it is. I know. That's the reason you didn't watch the show?
One of the reasons.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Hello, Newman. Yeah? 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 Am I right? Yes. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Jerry.
I couldn't stand him.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to hate him. He's a great... Another character villain, right? From Jurassic Park?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Oh, but Nedry.
He was cunning. He was tricky. He always had these schemes against Jerry. He was, like, vindictive.
He was in love with Elaine. Did you know that?
No.
He was in love with Elaine. Like, desperately in love with her.
Ugh. Yeah, that makes it even worse. when he would speak to Jerry, and I think only Jerry would he ever use that sinister voice. Like, it was just, I don't know. Yeah, like, everything about him. I didn't like his laugh. Like, it was like that throaty, out-of-breath laugh. Like, I didn't... Everything about him.
You know, this is gonna sound very, like... I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna say it. You know how there's some... Everybody has... There's different body types.
Mm-hmm.
And people are overweight, whatever. This way, he was overweight, and the way he wore his clothes added to his, like... how you felt his irritated.
Irritability.
Yeah, like, just his body shape and the way he dressed.
I think, too, there was, like, they played on that, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They used it to their advantage, his
physical his appearance. Physical yeah,
build,
yeah, yeah.
Right? But because I think there was an episode that he attracted fleas to the apartment. And that, like, annoyed Jerry because I think it got into Jerry's apartment. Like, he was such a slob, too. Like, he was just messy and took pride in his postal service work but, like, didn't do anything ever. Like, he was just that kind of guy. Like, so annoying.
Perfect villain.
I didn't like him.
Of course not. I hate Newman, but I love him because the...
See, but you...
I hate him?
You like him. You like him because it makes Jerry react a certain way. Or the fact that Kramer thought he was a good friend or whatever. I couldn't stomach him. I'm just like, oh. Like, if I ever had a neighbor like that, come around ever? No.
We would just name him Newman.
That would never be okay with me. But kind of going back on that, you do need a character like that to then bring out the best in your protagonist, right? Because then Jerry's wit would come out where he would actually get Newman to stand down. You know what I mean? Because he would be witty. He'd have the last word.
Right, right.
And, like, Newman wouldn't be able to do anything with himself.
Right.
So it empowered the protagonist. And as much as, you know, bad guys suck.
You need them.
We need them to have a good guy.
And that's how we would deal with Newman. We'd send Kobe to bark at them. deal with the Newmans in our life. Newman, I like that. You're lightening it up, and that's good. Because I didn't have to, my closest one was King Koopa. And then that just got into the scary fishes and in the booze. Okay, Newman, I didn't expect that. Well done. Another point. I think you're beating me in the points. I'll give you 2 points for that one. Did not think you would pick it at all.
Especially, but you agree, right?
Like absolutely. He was... Great villain.
Yeah, okay. Newman's great villain.
All right. All right. What do I got here? Did that one. I did that in all the rooms. All right. He's one of my favorite protagonists in a story, but he also played one of the most sinister villains, in my humble opinion. And I think what this guy is that he...
Sorry, I'm not sure what you said.
Excuse me? Siri disagrees with me? The portrayal of this particular character, what it is about him is that he's so judgmental and has this superiority complex, but what he's willing to do is kill his own with absolutely no heart. And when you realize who he is at the end of this film, the from what he portrayed originally to what he portrays at the end is absolutely terrifying.
Oh, I know.
Tell me.
I know. Usual Suspects.
No. Good pick. That I was thinking about Kaiser Soze.
Yeah?
No, it's not.
Not him?
Going with Judge Doom.
Judge who?
Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh my God.
Right?
You are... Yeah. Oh.
Christopher Lloyd, and how he...
I will never forgive him for dipping the shoe in the dip.
In the dip.
I will never forgive him. And I don't watch that movie because of that. Oh, he's terrible. Oh, he's a toon himself.
He's a toon himself.
Oh my God.
Right? And he's so like... That deep bear... Like, not bear, but you know how Christopher Lloyd is. He's got that authoritative... Who's seen... The rabbit. He's like, and he knocks, does the shape, and the hair, it drives the tunes crazy, and you see Roger like, going nuts, and he's about to put him in the dip, right, with the...
That's a terrible scene.
What are those guys called? I watched that movie so much as a kid. Oh, the Weasels.
The Weasels.
But then at the end, he's got that high-pitched, squeaky voice.
Remember me, Eddie!
Oh, and he turns his toon body into, like, different Whoa. Shapes, and his eyes are, like, huge and red, and he's got the little bit of hair on the top of his head. Terrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah,
so when
you're
he
right.
meets his end, no
yes,
remorse.
He needed it.
No remorse. He got the dip.
Yeah.
So good.
And they ran him over. They should have gone back and did it again for everything that he...
But when he got ran over, he lived. That's what was freaky.
Yeah, he got up, and he was, like, wiggly.
Yeah.
And
he goes... Surprised?
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh my gosh.
Good portrayal. Great, great portrayal of a villain. I forget his name. Bob Hoskins, I think, won a Golden Globe
for
Eddie Valiant. But I think...
I think both actors well deserve, because if you really think about it, it was kind of like a Jungle Book situation where you're just working with green screen. Like,
yeah.
Nothing...
It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
So... Dr. Emmett L. Brown, who I love from Back to the Future, also played one of the most terrifying villains of my childhood.
And you know what? I forget that it was him that played it.
That's how good he was.
Man.
That's what I mean. Like, Christopher Lloyd has been in some silly movies like Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan. Really bad. Don't worry about it. You're gonna watch it. Really bad. But he's also done some amazing roles that are just like, you almost forget that he was...
Oh, that is a terrible villain. Oh, my goodness.
That's a great villain. Not a terrible... He's a terrible man, but a great villain. Right? Now I want to watch Roger Rabbit.
No. No, I can't.
Just... We fast-forward the scene with the little shoe.
No, I can't.
Yeah,
oh, his little eyes.
Oh, no.
Go back and forth. No. It's awful.
It's okay.
I'm getting it together. Just give me a minute.
Do you want me to keep going? I'll give you my last pick, or are you ready to go? I got two more. Go for it, Daph J.
Composing myself. This is the thing. As terrible as this guy is, and it makes me a terrible person. Like, I'd rather you take it out on kids than on a shoe. But President Snow was awful.
Oh. He was on my honorable mentions list. Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. I question myself, you know. I question, like, what kind of person I am. If I can stomach kids being treated a certain way, but not animals or, like, cartoons. It's my own thing. But, yeah, I think he's awful. He has a control problem.
Oh, yeah, he's a dictator.
He gets a kick out of these kids fighting to the death.
Yeah.
And then he obviously uses fear in order. I mean, he uses that aspect of these young people killing themselves as a form of entertainment and to instill fear in people to keep order. Mm. He has a lot of white hair. A lot of it. Like a lot.
Instead of red.
Of it.
What's his name, the actor? Sutherland. It's Kiefer Sutherland's father. What's his name? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy now. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
But I think what also made him creepy was how calm.
Yes.
And soothing his voice was.
Yeah, that's a great, great point.
Because it would suggest that he would be a compassionate, understanding individual. Someone who, like, would be able to reason with you. But it's actually what adds to his villainy. Like, it's like he understands he's mad and he's accepting it. Like, he's okay with it, kind of.
And even in the portrayal of him, Donald Sutherland, that's who it is.
Yeah.
But, like, the way his face is shaped and the way his eyebrows are positioned and the way he has, like, that furrow in his... And just what it does to, when you said, like, he speaks, it adds this element of benevolence that you think he's, like, this sweet old man, but then he coughs into the napkin and that blood comes out, almost like the evil within him that can't be contained. It's very well portrayed. Donald Sutherland, I saw special features for the first Hunger Games movie when I bought it. And he wrote an essay about the character. And actually, I think, read it to the producers of the movie to really show that he was getting the character. Like, he really went into it to try to capture everything that this character represented. And I think, I don't know if he's a character actor per se, but he really wanted to envelop all of those things that you were describing and what he meant to, how he dealt with politics, his view of the world, and how people needed to be controlled. Yeah, it's a good pick. And it's a recent, more recent.
Yeah, and I can't say that I read the books, because...
Well, you don't have to.
I don't do that, but I... But the way, what I envision President Snow is Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
And the way, like, his...
Well cast.
I imagine so. And even if... And I say this ignorantly, even though it may not have been the best casting, I think his portrayal of the character was great. Like I said, the voice, the
physicality of it. I can't imagine another, it was a fantastic everything. Casting.
Like, even, like, I mean, of course, this is now the movie people, but, like, the fact that he seems so pure with the white hair and the white rose and the gloves and just, like, so proper, but he was he had the most blood on his hands kind of thing.
Right, right.
And was portrayed to be such a...
honorable
individual,
yeah.
For the capital and
right.
To everybody else, right?
Yeah.
It was all, yeah. Anyway, I thought he was a pick.
He's sinister. He has a perfect sinister face, Donald Sutherland, for that role.
Very great good. Voice too.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so much, I think, too, that goes into picking when you're gonna portray.
I think he does the Tropicana orange juice commercial too. I'm serious.
It's so random.
Yeah, he has a great voice.
He does have a very good voice. Very distinct. Coming down to my last two, oh man, I've got a third one that I really want to throw in there because I really, really hate this character in their portrayal, like, but maybe I'll have to save him. Okay. Joaquin Phoenix Commodus. Yeah. Gladiator. Prick. Like, everything about him, the fact that he's the fact that he is young, the fact that he is, like, this jealous, malicious little conniver, and he's got no boundaries, no morality, like,
nothing.
He just feels none. Everything is deserving of him. Look yeah. at this animal that we own that is lovely and beautiful is like you with the ice cubes, because all we're hearing is her chewing on the bone. Like, just like pup, like owner. Wow. One of the two. Anyways, I'm talking about Commodus here, Colby. And then just every, you, there's nothing about him at all that is redeemable. And when he does, and he's such a coward that when he does end up fighting Maximus, again, it's one of those fates that you have no remorse what happens to him. You just wish it happened sooner. Was he on your radar at all?
You know what? No. I completely forgot about him. But the fact that you mentioned him, I remember.
He did a wonderful role. Joaquin did a wonderful.
Much I disdained him. Oh, like,
hate him from beginning to end.
Like, even the fact that he was attracted to his sister and was, yeah. like, trying to implant the idea of...
just incestuous...
it's just, little oh, punk. Just terrible, terrible person.
And to the lengths that he went to prevent Maximus from having any sort of approval from his father to get the throne. I think that's what the thing was, right? To make sure that he couldn't get the throne. It was just like that extent where you see what happens to the hero of the story and where he ends up and what he has to go through to this little... punk.
Yeah, just on the throne. It was like a kid throwing a tantrum and yeah, didn't get his way, yeah, so he just, decided to just ruin everybody else's fun. Like, and the fact that
just a brat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the word. He was just this brat.
And he but, does the thumb.
But to the extent of his like what people lost for him just to feel
to sit on the throne of Rome. Yeah. Yeah, great villain.
Great villain. Portrayal.
Great portrayal. Yeah. Yeah.
He did really good.
Yeah. So as much as I hate him, I gotta tip my hat off to the guy who... like, you, not everyone can necessarily do that. Not everyone can make you like them as a hero or make you believe it, but Joaquin... I just see a picture of him in that role, and I all these feelings come back. Commodus. Gladiator. Thumbs down. All right, Daff J. Did you save the best for last?
No. I like I said, I didn't say any of these in any particular order.
Okay.
This guy I don't like at all either.
He's just like Oscar the Grouch.
You know, as much as I think there's a difference between. Villains, like top villains that are bad guys, and then and that you hate and that you disdain and that scare you, and then villains that are like cool.
Right.
Right?
Darth Vader's cool.
Darth Vader's cool. Sheev Palpatine is not.
I hate him.
I can't stand him.
I hated.
Can't do anything. I can't even like the look of everything about him, his white powdery hands and face, like that pale aged look, and when he speaks the way he speaks.
Oh. I hate him just as much in the prequels.
In as playing the senator.
Just playing, yeah, like everything about I mean, you know what he's going to become, but even when he's got the best interests in mind or seems to, like I hate that actor playing him, Ian McDiarmid, whatever his name is. Oh, Lord Vader.
Don't do that ever again. That was so good, though. That was excellent.
Oh, man.
But it's awful. Everything. Like, and then he was just so quick to replace Vader after Vader's, like, what he gave up and his loyalty to this guy. And then he'd be like, yeah, kill your father and take his place. Come next to me. Like, I'm sorry, you're saying this in front of me? Like, everything that I gave up to do for you, you're just gonna dash me away like I meant nothing. Like, my sacrifices meant nothing. He's a douchebag.
Oh, everything about, And he's not even big in stature.
No.
It's just that little...
Oh, and his bags. Those bags under his eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his teeth when he...
Just the way he would say words with his mouth and the positioning of it, it would just drive me absolutely nuts. I couldn't wait. I almost feel like...
He's that villain that you love to hate.
Yes. And that's what makes a great villain. That's really what makes a great villain. To know that Vader was scared of this guy.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what makes you like, wow. Vader bows to this guy. Ugh. Good pick. Very good pick.
That was quick.
You want to keep talking about him?
No, I'm just saying, like, there's nothing more to say. Like, no, he's just
Palpatine. Just the name itself. You say Palpatine and you're like, you make me sick. It's not like Darth Vader sounds awesome. It sounds like I want to name my car Darth Vader. I want to name my dog Darth Vader. Like, it just, as bad as it is, it's awesome. And you almost cheer for him in some, like, when he force chokes people, or even when he's fighting Luke in Empire Strikes Back. Well, the
fact that, like, even his voice was powerful, and Palpatine's wasn't. Yeah, it was, like, creaky.
He's a snake.
He was, like, this creaky, old, decrepit...
Yeah.
Kind of, like...
Ugh. He's just disgusting.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. Even when he's not transformed into that little, ugly... I don't know what to call him without, like, being obscene. I'm really holding back here. It's a family-friendly show, folks. I hated him as Senator Palpatine when he was part of the Senate and was with, you know... Ugh, hate him. Good pick. My last pick is another... It's a character that... Every time I think of this movie... He makes the story. I think Alan Rickman is a great villain in Die Hard, but also for me, I hate him even more as the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh my god!
The way he says.
Oh my god!
The way he speaks. The way he is. He's just the sheriff, but he runs the town like he's the king. And he's got the witch who he goes to for advice.
He's so slimy.
He just disgusts me. And when I see him finally get killed in the end, I don't feel bad for his outcome. It should have been faster. The way he speaks, the way his teeth cringe.
That's a great pick because he's also another reason why I don't watch Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He's a reason why I don't watch. Like, some of these guys seem so real to me that I can't invite them into my home.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he passed away, Alan Rickman. And he was,
like, recently,
Yeah, not too long ago. He was apparently a very well-loved actor. He's great in the roles that he portrayed. He was a wonderful villain. And Sheriff of Nottingham is one of the... When I think of a bad guy in a movie, in any type of medium, he's always going to be on my list.
Oh, he's
for the
so
way
creepy.
He was portrayed in that movie.
So creepy.
I can't think of anybody else to make me have those feelings of anger and desire for revenge and just to, from the beginning to the end, just horrible. Loxley. Ugh. Hate him.
Wasn't he, like, trying to force himself to, like...
He forced the marriage with Maid Marian. And it was...
He just looked nasty.
Everything about
him
was...
He looked sweaty.
Yeah.
And, like, just...
Yeah.
I don't know. There was... Everything about him was not nice. Creepy.
Yeah, and that final scene when he is forcing himself on her.
Oh!
Someone, I think, breaks in and he's like, do you mind? Like, he just looks at them as though they're interrupting him.
Yeah.
In the middle of their honeymoon, like...
Oh! But they didn't actually get married, right?
They did. They did. He forced them.
Oh, I thought them. Hello. You know what Bride? I'm thinking of? I'm not thinking of Princess Bride. I'm thinking of Three Men and a Little Lady. Where Jack impersonates the priest.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Wow, where we went with this. That's a great deep cut.
I'm sorry.
For anyone who remembers Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah, because you know what? That English guy was also a villain.
Oh, yeah, I hated him.
Right? Yeah. I don't know what his name was.
Edward. I've seen that movie too many times.
Oh, he was a prick.
Yeah, very much so. You know who is on my alternate list as the one villain who I should have put here because I hate him throughout the entire movie? Warden Norton from The Shawshank Redemption. The Warden. He is a son of a... Whatever you want to put in that.
Isn't he, blank. Where is he from?
He was also in Demolition Man.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did we both think of him in that role? But yeah. But Warden Norton. Hate him. Horrible man. And I think it was his whole, like, self-righteous, pious, sanctimonious, Bible-thumping self. Everything he would quote was always a scripture. And then he was the biggest crook.
Mm-hmm.
And just full of filth. And, you know, hated him. Great villain.
Great villain. I know...
Love that movie.
See, my silence... Like, when you listen to a podcast and you don't hear... Like, when you hear silence, it sounds like the person's uninterested. Throughout this whole thing, I've become very pensive. Like, yeah. I think about, like, I'm looking at you, and then I get into this daze where I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I'm thinking of all the reasons why these characters are so awful.
They turn your stomach, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah, those are good villains. That's what you want in a villain. Because they make the story. They make the satisfaction at the end worthwhile.
Yeah.
Right? And as much as you hate them all, they are the ones who make or break your movie,
mm-hmm.
I think, and that experience. So for me, I'm going to go through my 10 that I listed, and I want to add Warden Norton because I hate him so much. But
so that makes you 11?
It gives me 11, but I don't... He was on my alternative list because I thought of him after. So there's T-1000, Commodus from Gladiator, King Koopa from Super Mario Brothers, Lotso from Toy Story 3, Kingpin, the Vincent D'Onofrio portrayal, Vince McMahon,
the that boss, was a good one.
Vince McMahon, Agent Smith,
yeah,
Judge Doom, which almost brought you to tears because it brought back memories for you.
Mm-hmm.
2 points for me on that one. Malaram from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And the Sheriff of Nottingham from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. My alternatives, my honorable mentions, were Ivan Drago from Rocky. Terrified me. Whatever he hits, he destroys. If he dies, he dies. He doesn't care. He killed Apollo.
If he dies, he dies.
Whatever he hits, he destroys. Mr. Rooney was there.
I did it.
He did. President Snow was there. Palpatine was there on my honorable mention. Denethor from Lord of the Rings. He is, in Return of the King, he is the ruling steward of Gondor. Do you remember? Let me show you a picture of him. This guy. You remember him?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And his son, Boromir and Faramir, and he's about to sacrifice his son because he thinks he's dead, and he's... Like, he's just eating, and all of the things are just oozing from his mouth, and he has no more heart left in him.
I remember him now.
Yeah.
Because at first, I was like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, him. He was a guy that I remembered disliking very, very much. And Biff Tannen.
I was totally thinking that you would have him on the actual list.
I wanted to, because he was a great villain, and he was a villain of 3 movies in different forms. He played a young version, an old version.
Yeah, that's why I thought you would have him on there.
He's a great villain. I just thought it would be too obvious. Like, anyone who knows me knows that Biff Tannen should be there.
I mean...
But I didn't know if he was... I couldn't... The feeling he gives me, I almost laugh at him. Like, I enjoy
him. Not when he's about to have his way with Lorraine.
No. You're right.
That was, like, that's villainy.
You're right. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, he was. He's a total punk. Like, he's the definitive bully. Biff Tannen is the definitive bully. So, yeah, I didn't know who to take off because I wanted to have a diverse list. Like, I wanted to have an animated character. I wanted to have some television characters on there. I didn't just want to go all movie heavy or comic book heavy. So, Biff Tannen is my number one honorable mention.
Really?
Yes.
So, I have a couple.
Hit me.
So, my list was, if we go back and review, Chucky. Cheep Cheep. The fish and that you would only find in the water levels in Super Mario. William Stryker.
That's a good one.
Palpatine. Ugh. Doesn't he just give you the creeps?
I hate him.
Just
hate
everything him. About him. Principal Rooney. Oscar the Grouch.
Great pick.
Newman from Seinfeld.
Great pick.
And Pennywise from It. My other pick, which remember I said it was kind of like a group of villains that I thought
I know. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Gremlins.
No.
What? Oh, no. Critters?
No. Hey, me and Martin have this kinship with critters, okay? Do not hate on critters.
He could watch it with you then.
So, in the Disney world,
okay,
along with Scar, I thought Cruella De Vil.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking you're going to put Cruella De Vil because she wants the dog prints.
She wants puppies for clothing. Yeah, I would be one of those people that would throw paint on someone who was wearing fur. Like, I would be one of those protesters. Yeah, I would. And you know who else was terrible?
Who?
Ursula.
I was going to put her on mine, too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I feel like in the Disney world, they're their own thing. Like how you said, the comic books, villains have their own.
It's true.
It's too much.
There's so many good in that world. Pick.
In Disney, it is. But those top three, I think those are my top three in Disney.
Yeah.
Ursula and Cruella. It's tough. And they're the only women, I think, on my list right now.
Yeah, I wanted to pick a woman, too. It was tough because I once you start looking them up and trying to recall and go back, it's like I can just do all Disney. I could do all movie-based. Yeah. I could do all comic book. And then what I didn't add were any cartoon villains. And there were so many to choose from. Another alternate, Skeletor from He-Man.
Yeah.
3 years old, Canada's Wonderland. They had real-life versions of them there that you could meet. Started crying when I met Skeletor. Bawling. Took a picture with him. I don't know why. I'm like, we're not supposed to take a picture with him. He's the bad guy. He-Man, I'm trying to, like, grab onto his leg and tell him to take me back with him. But Skeletor terrified me.
I get it.
And, how about this villain? Entire series, you never even see him.
Ooh. No.
Dr. Claw.
Yes. Oh, that's an amazing one.
Dr. Claw. You never see him. All you see is his hand and the cat. I thought
you
were
referring to No Heart, but you do see No Heart.
You do see No Heart, but Dr. Claw sitting in it. Who was he? And it was the whole show was about him. It was always his schemes.
I don't think I ever finished watching that show. Like, I don't think I've ever...
What, saw the last episode?
Yeah. Was there even a last episode?
Probably, but I don't think there was any, like, ultimatum, like, we finally caught Dr. Claw.
You don't think so?
No. No, you never see him. You never see
him. Like, it just discontinued? Like, it just fell off?
Yeah,
just
canceled, yeah.
That's awful.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Ah!
You're right? So good at this stuff.
I could do a better one.
You should totally get into it.
No, voices?
We need to get into an agency or something. We need to do it. Okay, in my honorable mentions, so I had the two ladies. You know who I think also is a good one?
Tell me.
Shredder.
Perfect. Definitely.
He's great an assassin. Villain. He's a samurai Ninja. Guy.
Yeah.
He, but at the same time, like, he was also kind of cool, though, still.
Oh, yeah.
He had a temper.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no nonsense, like, get to work kind of thing.
Played by Uncle Phil in the cartoon.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Yeah. I thought he was great.
Great pick.
I thought, and he kept the turtles on their toes.
Yeah.
All the time.
I mean, I didn't necessarily, he scared me in the movie, the real life version. When you see him for the first time, and you just see like this long shadow as he's emerging to talk to all those like
delinquent teens, yeah.
And he has that deep gravelly voice, but when Splinter is telling the story about his history with Urokosaki, and he slices his ear, it's a rat. How did he like thin slice
a provolone
of the ear? Ah, the rat. I will finish what I started with your ear. Like, why was it so hard to kill the rat when he was just a rat in the cage? And who keeps a rat in a cage?
Well, he didn't. He had him out sometimes, like a ferret.
No, he always said, there I was.
No, he was mimicking him in the cage. Mimicking
his every move.
Yeah. For hygiene purposes, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, rats leave droppings. Maybe he just wanted to contain it. But I...
Only place that they keep pet rats, Japan. Ninjas.
Mato Yoshi. Okay, and the Ripper.
The who?
The Ripper.
From?
So he was the antagonist in the Jack Slater Part 3 movie. The movie that was in the movie Last Action Hero.
Oh my goodness.
He's a frightening
villain.
Right?
Very frightening.
Right?
However, you and this Last Action Hero, you always talk about this movie like it was a classic of your childhood. It was Arnold on the down. It was Arnold on the decline. And you're like, Last Action Hero, so good.
It is amazing.
So good.
It's a great movie. It's a movie within a movie. It's so good. And, okay, can we get back to the villain? I'm not justifying my taste in movies, okay? I'm not, no, because if I feel like I have to justify, it's because I did something wrong and I didn't do anything wrong. It's a great movie.
You own it. That's the best part.
You
own Last Action
Very
Hero.
Original. Okay? Even the villain in that movie was excellent. He had this glass eye and he would change it, like, once in a while. Anyway, it was the actual Ripper. Like... In the Jack Slater 3 movie, he was the one that had kids hostage at the top of the building, and one of the kids was Jack Slater's own son, and things went wrong. And I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who wants to watch it. It's an excellent movie. You should watch it. But, like, this particular actor or villain, what are you laughing about?
You're building it up like you got it, like this
you
movie,
guys have got
it has
to
such
watch
a twist.
It. And, you know, if you know me personally, I will lend it to you. Like, I will lend you the movie. This guy, I think another thing that freaks me out is people, the hairline, like way back here.
Mm.
he had this deformed, scarred face. His teeth were...
Yeah. You're big on the red hair and bad teeth.
Like, it was very... And every time, it was like leathery. His face was like leathery. So every time you try to bring his lips together, it'd be like...
Yeah, you know like who was that, scary like that too? Was Christopher Lloyd. In Dennis the Menace, where he played the homeless guy who was robbing the neighborhood.
You know what? I never saw Dennis the Menace. You
never saw Dennis the Menace?
No.
So good. So good.
No.
But Christopher Lloyd played a terrifying, like, little neighborhood thief. So, and he had bad teeth. Really bad teeth. Dirty. You would have hated him. Another good little villain. And what Dennis ends up doing to him is so funny. Really good. It's a movie that I think people forget. Was a lot of fun. Walter Matthau. You never watched that?
We gotta never.
Gonna watch it.
No.
Why?
I don't like bratty kids.
No, he's not bratty. He's very sweet. He's very sweet. He just comes off bratty. He's not
See,
a bratty.
No, how is that? How does that make sense?
Why?
Yeah.
Because he's not out to do bad things. He's just being a kid. He's just mischievous. But he's not, like, malicious. He's not trying. He's not, remember, Problem Child? Remember that movie?
I don't like that movie.
So Dennis the Menace isn't like that.
That's what I envision the real life Dennis the Menace movie being like. Not like the cartoon. I like the cartoon.
It's like the cartoon. It's more like, let's go and build a playhouse. And so what he'll do is he'll take wood that's actually going to be built for someone's house, and then he'll use it for himself, and people, like, he ruins everyone's day, but he was like, I was just having fun. Kind of situation.
Okay, so an innocent child just being a kid.
Yeah, really, yeah, it's good. You'll really like it.
All right, maybe I'll give it a shot. But yeah, those are my guys.
I liked it. It was good. We went for almost 2 hours.
No.
Yeah, that's fun. You know what I'm going to finish with one. I'm not trying to
get the one last up one. You?
No, not at all.
One up me, I mean?
It just came to... I was thinking about it when we were making our list. You remember the Neverending Story?
Vaguely, but I know I watched it a lot as a kid, and I don't really remember a lot of it.
Okay. So,
there I was... I remember The big dog.
Gmork. That's the one. The nothing. That thing terrified me as a kid. Horrible special effects.
Really? Just
like a big puppeteer.
Really? Right? It scared you?
Yeah.
Because that's not a villain.
He was a villain. That's what needed to... He was trying
to... What do you mean he was a villain? He was a villain?
He was the villain. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, look at that. How does that not scare you as a
Eric,
kid?
That's not the dog.
That's the dog about... I'm talking about. No. Gmork. Yeah, that's the dog.
Oh,
the
nothing. Eric, I'm not talking
You're
about that.
You're thinking of this guy.
Yeah, obviously.
Falcor. No. Not that dog. I wish my dog had ear. I like floppy-eared dogs because I'm always hoping mine will fly. No, I'm talking about the Gmork.
I don't remember that guy.
Oh, he was just in a cage. Oh, not in a cage. In a cave. And Atreyu finally confronted him because he was the one who wanted all imagination and creativity to be destroyed. And that's what was killing the never-ending, like, the world that the kid was reading the book about. It was from this thing that was bringing fear and killing people's imagination. So that, I'll show you, and it's just like, the way he talks is like this. And his, like, little, his teeth are so sharp. He's got, like, an overbite. Oh, yeah. Gmork.
An overbite nothing. Or an underbite? Overbite.
Yeah. I had to show her. People who are listening. Yes. Never in your story, Gmork.
Well, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks a lot for that. That was good.
We're going to have to watch, like, Winnie the Pooh or something. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Mara Slam Duncan, for giving us your recommendation or request for a show topic. We hope it lived up to your expectations. We want to hear from the listeners what their top 10, top 5 favorite villains from movies that we did not mention that come to your mind when you think back on some of your favorites. Feel free to email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or comment on our website at caveofsolitude.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will be back soon with our next listener request episode. Def J, any final thoughts?
Yes.
Tell me.
Sweet dreams, folks. Don't let the big bugs bite.
The bed bugs bite.
The bed bugs bite.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.